ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Adam Schiff, the congressman from right there, right outside the window, will be right there in hour number three.
Not just outside the window, but right where we're sitting, too.
Right here in Captain America's underpants. in hour number three, all right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. He will explain, Jim, why the Republicans are not going to win this sequestration fight.
I didn't think so.
Despite John Boehner's cleverness with the ObamaQuester hashtag. Because it turns out there's a PowerPoint that John Boehner sent to his Republican friends back when this happens, talking about what a dandy idea the sequester was.
Yeah.
And now he got 98% of what he wanted. And
whatever.
What a glorious victory this was for the Boehner.
Well, it's the ObamaQuester. Forget what I said. I was drunk.
Hashtag I'm hip with what the social media kids are doing.
Hashtag ObamaQuester.
All right, so let's say hi.
I'm hip to the lingo, daddy-o.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody has ever used that hashtag.
All right. Let's say hi to the birthday boy. Yay!
What?
Carl.
Carl Frisch. WholeFightStrategies.com. Come to Mama for your birthday spankings. It's Carl Frisch's 35th birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, good morning. I didn't see you there. I'm just sitting on my front porch rocking chair eating some Werther's Originals.
Oh, stop it. Whittling? You're talking to people who are a lot older than you are, Carl.
Yes.
Can we just hurry this up? I have dinner in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Hush now, Sonny.
And now you're talking like us as well because we go to bed at stupid o'clock.
What is the Blue Plate special?
Yeah, really, exactly. Somebody had to take you out for your birthday, you told me last year, at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock.
That's how sad our lives are.
Wow.
I'm always rapping on restaurant doors. Why aren't you open yet? What's going on?
Come on, it's 4 o'clock.
I was going out with friends last week, Carl, and they're like, Stephanie, it's not open yet. I'm like, it'll be by the time we get there. It's almost 5:30. Just go. Just drive Miss Daisy. Let's go.
The worst nightmare, restaurants that only open for dinner for normal people.
That's right. Like, why even bother having a restaurant if you're only going to be open for dinner?
I guess it's TGI Fridays again.
Carl Frisch. And by the way, you are eligible to run for president. We should start that right now.
I have an announcement to make about that, actually.
Oh, you?
Yes, please.
I would like to announce that I will have a listening tour. I will run, but the question is, can I do it without going to Iowa?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I wasn't listening to you.
I will run, but I've been to Iowa. I don't feel the need to go back.
No.
I don't think that they'll be very happy with that. So I think my campaign might be doomed from the very get-go.
Yes. You might be coming out of the starting gate with your sneakers tied together. Oh, well. Carl Frisch, speaking of breaking news, this is kind of huge. Facing heightened expectations from gay rights supporters, the Obama administration considering urging the Supreme Court to overturn California's ban on gay marriage. He might file a friend of the court, the president, in the Prop 8 case.
It would be a big deal. And here's why. One of the things that the court takes into consideration when they're dealing with high-profile issues like this, especially social ones, is how far along the country has moved.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, since 2009 when Proposition 8 was ruled unconstitutional in California, you've had several states approve of marriage equality through the ballot process. You've had several states pass it by legislature and the governor's signature.
Right.
You've got a few more states that are probably going to do it before the court actually hears marriage equality. And to have the president weigh in and say that this is unconstitutional would be another indication to the justices that the ball is moving in a very steady one-way direction here.
Uh-huh.
And that could impact the way that they think about this and how sweeping their rulings might be.
Well, I know the president said recently, I have to make sure I'm not interjecting myself too much in this process, particularly when we're not a party to the case. Do you feel like he's weighing whether it could hurt or help in that sense, though?
I think they've got a lot of different things that they're considering. I don't think obviously that it would hurt them politically. I mean, there was that discussion had before he came out in favor of marriage equality, and it obviously helped. Some would say it was the defining reason that he got so many more votes than Mitt Romney. But I think they probably are.
I was just going to say, let's hope the Supreme Court doesn't operate like the Republican Congress, because, you know, in that sense, it's like whatever the president's for, they're against, right?
Well, I mean, if they do operate like the Republican Congress, then we can just plant some fake stories in the conservative press and see if they believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that.
Which one are we talking about now? The friend of Hamas? Is that what we're talking
about?
Yeah, that's great, but I kind of like this Duffel blog story. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, this is fantastic. So there's this blog called Duffel Blog, and it's basically The Onion, but it does all kinds of military and foreign relations stories.
Right.
So, for example, they once had a story about how there were Iraq War reenactors reenacting the Iraq War in Syria.
yeah, I heard about that.
And there was a post on this blog that said that Gitmo prisoners were receiving GI benefits, 9/11 GI benefits.
Oh, right. Yes, I have heard this story. Hilarious.
So
right.
Mitch McConnell's office was getting emails from, you know, Tea Partiers who love to read those blogs and think that it's true because Obama would, of course, give GI benefits to Gitmo terrorists, and they must get to the bottom of this. So Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader's office, actually sent a letter to the Pentagon requesting information about this special program, including in the letter a link to the Duffel blog post. So,
hilarious.
Yes, he was following up to find out whether or not President Obama was giving GI benefits to Gitmo prisoners.
Wow. No, we did this story yesterday, and it is hilarious, Carl. Before we dive into right-wing world, that's what we always wonder. How do these things get in right-wing world where they become an alternate reality where you have a United States senator then asking the senator of the Secretary of State about weapons in
Turkey?
That's a fake Fox News story, right?
Right, and here is how it happens. We talked a lot after the 2012 election about how the digital divide had helped Democrats win because Republicans were so far behind the eight ball when it comes to technology. I did not realize that digital divide included Google and that they have no idea how to Google.
Right. Well, a writer actually explained this. A Daily News reporter explains how he inadvertently created the myth that Chuck Hagel spoke to a non-existent Hamas group.
Yeah.
But this is how this ends up in right-wing world and becomes fact, right, Carl? I mean, it's
exactly. And then they dig their heels in any respectable outlet. So basically what happened is, for people that don't know, this guy, Dan Friedman, who's a reporter for the New York Daily News, he wrote, he was, you know, trying to get stuff out of his sources for stories, and he was joking around with a Republican Senate aide.
Joking.
And saying, yeah, he was like, hey, did he get any money from this group or that group?
And this is what he said. He literally said, has he given a speech to the Junior League of Hezbollah in France? What about Friends of Hamas? Anyway, so go on.
So then this Senate aide apparently started telling people and then Friedman checked back in and said, anything from Friends of Hamas? Did he get $25,000? So then all of a sudden, this Senate aide must have been gossiping around the office because Breitbart News, you know, the name when it comes to respectable and reliable news.
There's the headline. Secret Hagel donor. White House spokesman ducks question on Friends of Hamas.
So, yeah, it reports the story. Dan Friedman then yesterday comes out and explains how this probably happened. And, of course, Breitbart News, being the journalists that they are, refused to correct their story.
Yeah.
He said, even though they admit that they have no rational basis for believing that it's true.
Right, and he says, Friedman says here in the article, the names were so over the top, so linked to terrorists in the Middle East, it was clear I was talking hypothetically or hyperbolically. No one could take seriously the idea that organizations with those names existed, let alone that a former senator would speak to them, except all our friends in right-wing world, right?
Because they're paranoid.
But how could they believe, how could they think of it as being so over the top? These are the very people that believe that an aide to Hillary Clinton was a mole for the Muslim movement.
She's a woman.
Right away is suspect. Yeah. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing today. Stuart Varney on Fox and Friends.
He says, look, you have this sequester. You cut spending, and we will go into recession. And all of these good people will lose their jobs.
Right.
He's avoiding blame for the failure of his own policies. Are you trying to tell me that we can't cut 2%?
2%.
out of a $3.6 trillion economy without facing utter disaster?
The interesting thing
that's
is,
nonsense.
This was right, that's what Boehner agreed on his fancy PowerPoint presentation when he agreed with Jim Dandy's idea it was.
Well, not only did he believe that, but a huge chunk of his caucus believed
right.
it. Oh, and these other people called economists believe it.
It's a boner quester.
Hashtag boner
right.
quester.
But if you want to believe the English guy who tells Americans how bad their black president is, then
right.
that's fine, I guess.
He's a fool.
He's like the quintessential upstairs person at Downton Abbey.
Yes, exactly. He is the Dowager Countess.
As an American Dowager Countess, I'm a fool.
Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is it, the Twilight Zone?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, grab a number. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 21 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch, birthday boy, in the sidecar to continue Right Wing World. Well, you know, Carl, as bad as they can be in right-wing world, at least they have not descended to just base name-calling of the president, have they?
I think the president's a thief.
Oops.
I think he's stealing. When we borrow 46 cents of every dollar, he's stealing from our kids.
What the hell?
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, that would be Sean Hannity. I wonder if he's going to be in a Sean Hannity segment about extremist, right-wing talk.
Yeah.
I bet you I'll be featured in left-wing hate speech again tonight.
Okay. Yeah,
awesome.
It showed. I mean, the complete lack of self-reflection on the right is absurd at a certain point. I remember back when President Obama first became president, and Media Matters was keeping track of the number of times that people on Fox News called the president a communist, fascist, socialist, Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist, any of the major ists.
All the ists,
you know, sometimes they would even call him a McCarthyist and a communist in the same sentence, which
right.
I thought was interesting. And after the first 3 months, it was already in the thousands of times.
Yep.
So, yeah, don't be surprised if they continue to do it for the next 4 years.
Yep, exactly. Hugh Hewitt and Senator Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring up one piece of information that Ben Shapiro at Breitbart put out today, which is one of the foreign funders behind Senator Hagel that he has not yet disclosed formally is something called Friends of Hamas. If that is in fact true, Senator, would that lead you to vote against Mr. Hagel?
You know, I saw that information today also, and that is more and more concerning. With each day, there are new things coming out.
You know, can I say Rand Paul is kind of a
turkey?
Wow.
Well, you know, the
so wait, just in case you just
fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
If you've just tuned in, we've already explained the story. How a Daily News reporter explained how he inadvertently created this. There is no such group as Friends of Hamas, and this got it was a joke, and it got into Right Wing World and repeated. You know, started on Breitbart as we were talking about it. It's hilarious.
I think it's toupees off your tongue.
And this is exactly how it happens, Carl. It goes to a senator of the United States, and then you have these parallel universe hearings where. It is not, you know, you have the Secretary of State having to answer ridiculous questions about fake stories.
And the Breitbart author who wrote the article says, while the information may be a little suspect now, I still stand by my original story.
Huh?
Right. The basis of the story.
What?
Yeah. I mean, you heard what he said. What he said there. He said, literally, with every mounting day, there's another story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you weren't creating them out of whole cloth, there wouldn't be a new story every day, and we'd have a new Secretary of Defense.
These hearings are just going to become a complete waste of time. Just nominees going, no, Gitmo detainees are not getting dental benefits. No, there's no friends. No, Sarah Palin's not going to Al Jazeera. No.
They are busy investigating. And by the way, when Washington Post reported that she was going to Al Jazeera, what website do you think went, you know, got all over the Washington Post for doing that.
Newsbusters.
Breitbart.com.
Oh,
yes.
Breitbart.com. Yes, okay.
So, you know, if they want to continue to do this, that's fine. I think that the investigation of Chuck Hagel should be over. He should be confirmed. And we should begin the investigation of whichever Senate Republican staffers passed along the story about Friends of Hamas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a news organization,
they should be fired.
Well.
As a news organization, Breitbart has been getting a lot of stuff wrong lately and been taken in by a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised.
No, exactly. I mean, it just shows you their journalistic outfit.
And we end with Rush Limbaugh.
We need to stop talking about race. The whole point of this is racism, and it's the left behind it. The left is always, they've always been the people who look at somebody and first notice them by the color of their skin, then guessing what their sexual orientation is, and guessing what their gender is, and wondering if they had a sex change operation. They might even ask somebody. All of these things on the outside. Well, sex change, the adidectomy. Well, that would be on the outside, too.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm not shocked by that. Rush does that kind of stuff all the time. Yeah. And for him to accuse the left of doing precisely what he does is preposterous. Remember, this is a guy who, you go back to the 90s when Carol Moseley Braun was the only African-American senator since Reconstruction. Every time he talked about her, he would promo the segment by playing the Jeffersons' Moving On Up theme song.
Yeah, and I must have been the one that played Barack the Magic Negro, I guess, not Rush.
Or are you... Are you the one that calls female news anchors anchorettes?
No, and I don't know who he's talking about with the sex change.
I'm more of a man than any liberal is.
I'm really certain.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. All right, Carl Frisch, you are a delight, birthday boy.
Thank you very much. People should follow me on Twitter for my birthday at Carl Frisch.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we will then. I send you electronic birthday spankings.
Thank you, my
Happy
buddy,
birthday,
Rosie.
That's what I heard. All right. You know, I believe children are the... I believe the children are... Right. That's my point, particularly the ones that listen to me. Alex in Chicago is 11. Hi, Alex.
Hi. Before I start saying anything about what I was going to say, I want to say on my birthday... Near my birthday, your show comes up, and I'm coming to it. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, that's right. You're the one. Someone's bringing you for your 12th birthday. Oh, boy.
Great.
Okay. All right. That's a little on the bubble, Alex, but we'll try to tone it down a skosh.
Sure you will.
Go ahead. What do you want to say?
In Chicago, in Illinois, they're passing these new gun laws where you can conceal and carry anywhere.
Oy.
They're basically ripping away the right to tell somebody that they can't allow somebody in their place without a gun.
Wow.
That
seems unwise.
Yeah.
And as you may know, Chicago has a rate for, you know, lots of deaths.
Yeah.
Right.
So we don't need any guns in Chicago.
You're a very smart kid.
Yeah, exactly. What, Alex, do you know, after what happened in Connecticut, do you and your friends talk about this a lot? Are you scared?
No.
I mean, about when you hear all this gun stuff happening.
No, I'm fine with that. I've listened to your show for like 2 years.
You have? Well, no wonder you're so smart. All right. Well, listen, I thank you for the news update, and we will see you at Chicago Sexy Liberal.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Alex. All right.
That's a little alarming that they have concealed.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I think he was being macho. I think that's the point. That's all these kids that are writing to the president. It's because it's scary.
It is. Yeah.
You know, to see this kind of news and wonder if that's going to be your school next.
This American Life is actually doing a report where they spent a couple of weeks inside a Southside Chicago school. And just the abject terror that these kids live under day after day after day.
Yeah.
They're forced to join a gang. Otherwise, they will not survive.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just the most harrowing report.
You and I were only afraid of our macho nuns and their Board of Education.
Well, yeah, and I was afraid of Roman Gomez.
Oh, and, well, Carol Fisher.
Okay.
Our respective bullies.
Exactly.
Right. And Sister Dorothy with the Board of Education.
Right.
And yours was Sister...
Oh, Sister Luke.
Luke.
Sister Luke.
And she had, what did she have? What was her weapon?
Well, she had the one paddle without the holes and the one paddle with the holes so that she'd get better aerodynamics.
Right. Rap. Awesome. And did you get to choose your torture device?
No. She chose for you.
Oh,
there
awesome.
Was no choice involved.
Depending on your level of transgression?
Exactly.
Sister Boris was in charge of that.
Sister Boris Karloff.
Oh, we also had Sister Philip Michael.
Right.
Yeah. She taught religion.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is turning into one very sexy struggle for the future of the human race.
Let me guess, the music machine broke again.
Yeah, the computer.
Here in the radio studio. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, Jim Dandy, Silence, what we love best in radio. That's what radio geeks have nightmares about, by the way, just silence.
Yeah.
Something's dead air.
The silence.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I have flashbacks to my first radio days in Lockport.
Oh, yeah?
Remember when I did my first whole opening break and I did, you know, Linda Blair with the weather and Katharine Hepburn and Traffic Copter, and then I realized I didn't turn my microphone on.
Oh.
So that was just like 20 minutes of...
So you weren't hearing yourself in the headphones?
I was a newbie.
Usually when you can't hear yourself in the headphones, that means your mic is off.
And then the music was on reel-to-reels. Uh-huh. And so if you didn't change it in time, there'd be silence as well. So I would wake up for years in a cold sweat like, oh, I forgot to change the tape. There's no music.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay. And that's my life. And scene. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Scott, we also tend to over-talk in conversation. Radio people.
Yes.
Hi, Scott.
Hello?
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Steph. Hi, guys. I called a couple 3 weeks ago. Another comment. This stuff that we seen yesterday with the Friends of Hamas thing and Rand Paul went with it.
Right.
Can you just see in 2 to 4 years what the commercials are going to be about these guys in the campaigns?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be hilarious, don't you guys think?
Exactly. Yes, I do. He's that guy in that commercial that has his caps lock stuck.
Yeah.
It was nice to hear from him. Okay, Tim. Yes, I would like to go out for a drink sometime.
I'm sorry, my cap's locked.
Tim in Springfield. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim. Timmy.
Good morning. I just talked to your screener and told him I am a Republican. Work for the Republican Party.
Dear
I'm
God.
Going to be contacting. I'm going to be hey, now. Yeah, I know you have Republican blood in you somewhere.
Yes, I do.
Your show.
I do.
But I'm gonna contact, you know, my state senators. I'm gonna contact the representatives here and just say, look, I'm gonna obviously fact check what you said. I believe what you said because it's kind of typical these days.
Which thing that I said? Which thing that I said?
That you know these myths are created and then they're furthered. And by the way, I was actually in Springfield, so I am, on Tuesday to. Watch the committee talk about concealed carry. There is no concealed carry law right now in Illinois, so the 11-year-old, he can rest assured that hasn't happened yet. It's they're talking about how it's going to be structured. I listened to four different panels talk. Three of them.
Well, he's not my legal expert. He's 11, but he was just passing along a concern.
My 12-year-old was with me because I thought it was that important, and there was a bunch of kids there, actually. I was really surprised. From both sides. It was really extremely congenial meeting. There was no, you know, shouting. There was no, you know, nastiness. I've been to some of those in those committee meetings where it can get quite rowdy. I thought everybody was really respectful. They're all trying to work together to have some kind of sensible. There has to be, like, they're only given 180 days as of December 10th to pass a concealed carry measure in the state by the 7th District Court of Appeals. So, I mean, they're working it
out.
What's
your stance on it?
My stance is that there should be a shall carry. That's you know, it's very, very strict. If you look at the...
There should be a what carry?
Carry law. There's a may issue and a shall issue a way of getting a concealed carry permit. And they've debated both sides, and I'm a shall issue kind of guy. I think that if you're... honest,
I don't know what you're... you're speaking some sort of other language.
Yeah,
what?
Some sort of gun language. What is a shall...
I don't speak gun. Please explain to me.
It's not gun language, it's the legal language. In most states, in I think 40 states, you have a shall issue, which means that you can just, like getting a car license, you go down, you test for it, you pass a class, you get your license. In a may issue state, it's a little more, you have to go through a PC police, like in New York, where basically in a may issue state, it's only the rich and famous that get gun permits, and that's kind of why we're on the shall
okay.
issue. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you know.
All right, Tim. Good. Thanks for calling.
Utah and you'll love it.
All right, thank you. Okay. Yes, more guns, I think, is always
yes.
the answer.
We shall, must, or possibly will have or not have, will have,
right.
carried.
Can someone explain to me the difference between fully automatic and... Just kidding! Do not call me!
Shall and may. Or not.
I don't. I speak jive, but I don't speak gun. Okay.
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
Republicans that are not helping in the gun debate. Missouri GOP state representative opens fire on a gun control bill. Literally.
Yeah.
He thought that would be a helpful way to get his point across. Republican State Representative Eric Burleson really does not like a new gun control bill. Several of his Democratic colleagues have proposed. A video posted earlier this week by the Missouri legislature shows him taking the physical bill to a shooting range and using it for target practice.
They're not much for subtlety on the right,
are
they? Not
much for debate, are they? Okay, Ronnie and Joyzy on a very same subject. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi, how are you, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
Okay. I cheated on you a little bit, and I changed channels.
Bastard,
you know,
person.
I'm watching, I hope I can mention C-SPAN, but they're having a thing on there about guns. And they're broadcasting from a range. And aside from the fact that everybody on there who they're interviewing, you know, won't say how many guns they own when asked, I don't know, I don't remember. In the background of these interviews, the range is open, and I hear the reports of guns firing and firing and firing, big guns. And every time I'm hearing, I'm surprised at my reaction. I'm getting nauseous. I picture all these people in the theater and other helpless people being fired at with the same sound. And these people are just shooting and shooting and shooting. And the whole thing is they're getting ready to fight the government. I mean, it's not about protecting your house. It's about they're waiting for the government to come and get their guns.
Right,
and,
the black helicopters.
It's making me crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all, do they really? They really think the government is going to, they have to fight the government. And number two, they really think they're going to win.
I don't know, but one more point.
By the way, if you watch the Christopher Dorner thing out here, they have those machines that can pull every wall of your house off.
Right,
in addition to a few other weapons that you probably don't currently have.
That's a hell of a machine.
Right.
That's
right.
That was
great. But my other problem, if I may, is going to, I've always been afraid to go into bars that I'm not familiar with, especially neighborhood bars. Now, if you have these cities where people are carrying guns, how am I supposed to go into a bar and be relaxed, maybe have a drink, whatever, when I don't know if some idiot's going to get mad at something I say and pull a gun on me?
Right. Well, be sure to bring a priest, a minister, and a rabbi with you.
There you go. Just bring a good setup and punchline with you. All right, yeah, because guns and
alcohol. Walk a horse in with you, too.
And a parrot.
Yes.
He seems like he had a parrot in the background there. Did you hear that? Or he's calling from an aviary or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, James tweeted a clarification. Hegel actually spoke to Friends of Hummus.
Friends of Hummus.
Oh, well,
yes.
Better. Thank you for the correction. The Stephanie Miller Show regrets the error.
Tasty hummus.
Michael in Wisconsin. Still sounds scary and Middle Eastern. Oh. Okay, Michael in Wisconsin. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to kind of elaborate a bit on that, what your previous callers had said about the concealed carry situation in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the legislation. Let's see here, HB 997. Unlike some of the teabaggers, I know how to Google.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of concerned about some of the language in the bill. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of...
you know what? Maybe why don't you brush up on that and call me back.
just
give that a once over and then give me a ring. Not that we wouldn't like to wait.
Didn't we just get done saying that silence is kind of deadly on radio?
What do you people not understand? Okay. So, as you know, we just had another gun violence thing out here. Isn't it sad where it gets to the point where if there's not that many people killed, people just go, next news cycle, you know. But is anyone concerned that it's always the same story? I in terms of talking about what goes into these incidents, I'm gonna bring it up again. I'm gonna throw the tear gas in the video game tear gas. I'm just saying every single one of these, it's a young guy that's into video gaming, and I'm not blaming just that. But I don't know what the deal is. This guy out in California.
Yeah, I think being into video games is more of a symptom than it is a cause.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but, okay, anyway, a woman who was the first of three people killed in a gunman's rampage out here, right, Orange County, has been identified, but her relationship with the shooter, a video game playing loner, remained unknown. He was a part-time college student who lived with his parents. He ultimately committed suicide. He spent a lot of time alone in his room playing video games, according to a source. He killed two more people during carjackings, injured at least three more, shot up cars zooming up and down the freeway. Before committing suicide. He had no criminal history, no history of mental illness or mental disability. So it's another one of these cases where you're like, what are all the factors that are going into this?
I suspect he would have done that whether or not he played video games, though. That was.
I guess it's just that here's another one where you go, what made this guy snap? What was this about? And you know, I mean, the Adam Lanza story. We're just saying apparently he blacked out his basement and played video games all day long. And is that a parenting issue? Is it?
No, it's being a loner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm for forced socialization. Right. Then we need to force people to socialize.
Oh God.
I am going without a dish to pass to everybody.
Okay, we're going to force you out and socialize.
I will. I'm going
you
to every single
not.
Door sure. in my. I'm going to start because I'm a helper. I'm going to every house in my neighborhood. Hello. I have a hot dish to pass. Would you like to socialize?
Oh, they'll love you.
Okay. Just trying to help. All right, 45 minutes.
A hot gun to pass.
Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That water tastes a little like Canadian tourist.
No.
Don't you hate that when you get a Canadian tourist in your water tank?
Did you hear about that?
No.
God.
Look, Odie, there's a Canadian in your water.
We were saying our best comedians come from Canada, so you could say, does this water taste funny?
Yeah.
Horrible story. They found a Canadian tourist in a water tank.
On top of a hotel. And so everybody was drinking the water from the hotel sinks was drinking Canadian tourists. And that was here in Los Angeles, wasn't it?
That all a booty.
This water tastes like poutine.
Eh?
That was here in Los Angeles, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Literally tastes like poutine.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Kathy in Fresno. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
I've got a question. How come when I went out to get pepper spray, it's been a few years, and I don't know if they still have to do it, but just, you know, pepper spray or whatever that stuff, mace, you had to take a class. You had to take 4 or 5 classes just to get a license.
Right.
Kathy,
I remember a long time ago, I had a friend that taught self-defense, and she gave me one of those telescoping batons, and then I found out later it's illegal. You can't, I can't even have a telescoping baton, and yet anybody can get a gun practically?
Yeah. So why can't they make gun owners or whoever? I mean, I'm not against guns. My brother-in-law is a police officer, but, you know, I don't want everybody else having guns so they can shoot him down.
I'm personally for police officers having guns, but I'm out on a limb on that one.
But they should make people take classes like we had to take for pepper spray.
It's a good point. That's a good point.
Sure, get one of those walking canes with a sword in it. You know.
Really? That'd be cool.
Oh, I had no idea that was in there.
And I was too spazzy for that thing, that whatever it was, baton.
You don't want to mess with nunchucks.
No.
You can kill yourself. People have actually brained themselves by making one false move.
You're talking to someone that buried a jart in their own head as a child, so yes, I know.
Oh, by the way, Stephanie?
Yes?
Listen, James tweeted, stop blaming video games. My friend Donkey Kong will pay you a visit, and he won't be throwing barrels. Hashtag poop flings.
That's great. Just speaking Latin. Don't have any idea what you're talking
about. Donkey Kong.
Right.
Donkey Kong.
Sure. No, I know the name of the game. I've never played a video game, though, so I won't.
He's a giant gorilla?
No. I think it's a little tricky to infer causality, you know, that the games cause the violent behavior. That's a way of blowing off steam to keep him from doing.
Or he has absolutely no social skills whatsoever, so that's his way of.
I'm just saying it seems like, Jim, it's one of the factors that like they were talking about Lanza, that these games, you only score points or whatever when you get a kill, right? Mm-hmm. And so they use those kind of games to train the military, so it just seems like in all of these recent cases, it's like they were training. And then they went out and did it. And I don't know. I know what you mean about causality. But and also, it's just a cool big word. Okay. My point. Oh, boner.
Hashtag boner.
The president's sequester. We agree the president's sequester is a bad idea. The president's
sequester.
Did I mention it's the president's sequester?
Nice try.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so subtly done.
Yeah.
So elegantly put, Boner. Although he now blames the president for the draconian spending cuts set to take place March 1st, Boner characterized it just after they passed it. He characterized it to Republicans as a way to hold the president accountable. A PowerPoint presentation. Why, look at this.
Hmm.
Why? He said to his conference July 31st, 2011, cast the sequester and the rest of the deal in favorable terms. At that point, and he had a fancy PowerPoint to prove it.
Wow.
He said when you, and hit the time.
PowerPoints are always incriminating.
Right?
You should never
do a PowerPoint.
No, come
on. Did I do that? That seems a little elaborate. He told CBS at the time, also videotape. PowerPoint videotape. He said, when you look at this final agreement we came to with the White House, I got 98% of what I wanted. I'm pretty happy.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Hmm. A lot of people remember that.
Yes. Indeed we do.
Obama-quester. This is Obama-quester. President-quester.
Uh-huh. Hashtag Boner-quester.
Boner-quester. Okay. Let's go to Phil in Phoenix. Hi, Phil. Welcome.
Hi, Steph and Luke. This is Phil, your official drunken retired blimp mechanic.
Yay! A blimp mechanic?
Wow.
That is awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Retired. I'm almost old enough that I almost got to work on the Hindenburg.
I was going to make a Hindenburg joke. You bit me to it. All
actually,
right, go ahead.
Dirigible's not a blimp, but a Zeppelin.
What I wanted to tell you guys about yesterday at our beautiful musical instrument museum in Phoenix. I've been there several times.
It is.
It's great.
It's gorgeous.
Grampy McCain had a town hall on gun control.
Yes.
In the musical instrument museum?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
I suppose anywhere there's a hall.
I mean, I thought maybe he was there to sing Bomb Bomb Around. I don't know what.
Yes, he needed some accompaniment for his favorite song.
Well, he could have Ashcroft, you know, do a duet with him.
You better not.
God, I saw one picture, Phil, of that town hall that looked like it could be a poster for anger management problems. He is just a permanent scowl.
Wait a minute,
scowl.
That trombone's not supposed to have a 15-round magazine?
You're a cent?
Okay.
Did you want to play a little bit from that town hall?
No, that wasn't what I wanted.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Teresa in Staten Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi. This is my first time calling. I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. But, it's only me.
Well, I enjoy your show, and I'm watching you. I'm so glad I found you.
Thank you.
One of the things that I think that needs to be looked at, they're talking about mental health issues and, you know, criminalizing people. I'm not a gun owner, but I have been close to being a victim of a gun owner. Just having a gun in the house is like having another entity. You know, that gives a person a one-upsman. Oh, I can kill you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that
of having a gun, what it does to a person's mind, you take a low self-esteem person and give them a gun.
Right.
God knows what they're going to do with it.
Well, we don't know what happened in this Pistorius case. We don't, I mean, but it just like you, it, I think it defies logic to say things tend to turn out differently, whether it's suicide or domestic violence, when there's a gun around. I mean, it just does, right?
Well, no, I know in my own case, me and a friend had an argument, and he pulled a gun on me.
Yikes.
You know what I mean? And he pulled a gun on me. He wasn't a friend. He was my son's father. And, I mean, it gave him a feeling of domination. Well, I know I can put you in your place. I can make you do what I want you to do.
Right.
And it just gives a person a one-upsman. And especially people who have issues with their self-esteem, and we got a lot of them in this country.
Yeah.
I just feel having a gun.
Right. And people that feel powerless, and it's absolutely, it is about power.
There's a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Teresa, you did spectacularly well in your first call. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Get that out.
Have some fake studio applause. Okay. Thank you. All right. See, that didn't go as badly as she thought. All right. Patience in West Virginia. Welcome.
Hello there.
Hi.
My first time calling.
Okay.
I'm very excited to have
you can
through.
Do it. You can do it. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Okay. Very simply, the guy who called in earlier and said that he'd be concerned about walking into a bar in Illinois with a concealed carry permit and not knowing if he was going to piss somebody off and get shot.
Right.
What about the people standing around? It's usually standers-by that get hit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the guy you're aiming at. Yeah. It's, you know, the dozens of other people who are hanging out in the bar.
Right. Alcohol, notoriously good for coordination. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Adam Schiff on the TV, huh? He's right across the street over there at NBC. He's going to be right there.
Walk across the parking lot.
Next hour. Adam Schiff? What? Oh, my goodness. He will be live in studio to talk sequester and much more with us live in studio. And just, he'll be here in a second. Okay. I'm just getting his attention. All right. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice DD Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget about sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, and more importantly...
Hey, Chicago, you say twice isn't enough?
15 is my limit.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get a little more sugar from Mama.
Yay! All right. Do it, get it. All right. But sadly for the boner, we were saying that there is a PowerPoint that proves it's not Obama's sequester at all. Oh, my goodness. It takes a little doing to do a PowerPoint. That wasn't me.
That was Bon Jovi. He's to make that.
John Avalon writes, it's essentially an internal sales document from the old dealmaker boner to his unruly and often unreasonable Tea Party cohorts. It's clear as day in the presentation that sequestration was considered a cudgel to guarantee a reduction in federal spending. Conservatives' necessary condition for not having America default on its obligations. Remember that last hostage crisis?
Yep.
Yeah.
Democrats could just as easily spin this as a boner sequester or a Cantor sequester and offer indelible digital evidence to back up their claim, John Avalon writes.
That's great.
Yeah. And we will talk more to Congressman Schiff about that. But Chris Salazar, our friend, writes, why Congress won't win sequester showdown with President Obama in three easy steps. Here's why. He's saying Republicans would do well to avoid a confrontation. Number one, regular people have no idea what the sequester is right now. And once it kicks in, they aren't likely to pay all that close of attention unless they're directly affected by it. Two, Obama is popular with the American public. Number three, Congress, not. So, there you go. Approval ratings, Obama in Congress, Washington Post, ABC News polls, 55% for the president, 19% for the Congress. Because the sequester is and will likely to be very ill-defined in the minds of most Americans, the politics of it will devolve into a popularity contest between the major players. And he, as much as you hate it, is popular, popular, popular. You are not. You should learn not to compete with him. He always wins. Ha!
Polls.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win. Ha!
Polls show that the general public believes the Republicans are really behind the sequester. So, how's that working out for you?
I was late. I don't know what he's talking about.
Neener.
Yeah, he got 98% of what he wanted, but that other 2% is a bitch.
It's a bitch, man. Karma's a bitch. they say that sequestration probably will happen, Chris Eliza writes, but congressional Republicans may well look back and rue the day.
Ruining
is never fun.
Actually, the 2%. What I didn't want was a sequester. That was the part I didn't get that I wanted.
The president's carnage.
The choice that Republicans are making is throw these people out of work in order to protect these special tax breaks for corporate jet owners and oil and gas companies. It's just, it makes no sense.
That's just too little too easily understandable to the average world. Okay, the carny again.
When you ask, where's the president's plan? It's been there. It's on whitehouse.gov. It is in the proposal that he submitted to the Speaker of the House that the Speaker walked away from.
It's a little too clear. We got to muddy the waters a bit. With bourbon, preferably.
And the boner.
If some of those jobs are lost in this, so be it. We're broke.
So be it.
It's time for us to get serious about how we're spending the nation's money.
Serious about spending.
Why do I feel like that soundbite's going to come back to haunt us?
I think it might.
Jobs lost, so be it. Do I seem like
you job screw
kind
you.
Of a heartless bastard?
I got mine, Jack. That's all I care about.
This is August of last year.
Yeah. When you look at this final agreement that we came to with the White House,
right?
You know, I got 98% of what I wanted.
Oops.
I'm pretty happy.
Voter sequester hashtag.
Voter quester.
Voter quester.
Wow. He really doesn't think that recording devices exist.
No, he does not. The Washington Post headline also, Americans will blame GOP for sequester. He makes a good point, Greg Sargent. If John Boehner really believes we can achieve substantial deficit reduction with spending cuts alone, perhaps he should go ahead and name the specific spending cuts Republicans would support to accomplish this.
Yes, that'd be a good idea.
That aside, I continue to be perplexed by the apparent belief among Republicans that they'll be able to shift the blame for the sequester entirely to Obama. Boehner's claim that the American people don't support trading spending cuts for higher taxes is highly dishonest. In reality, we're talking about closing loopholes and deductions enjoyed by the rich and corporations, and the American people oppose bringing down the deficit only through deep cuts to specific programs. The American people know who stands for a deeply balanced approach and who favors a judicious, balanced one. A recent Post poll found 55% of Americans have an unfavorable view of the policies congressional Republicans will pursue over the next 4 years. We're watching you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the American people are going to go suck eggs.
I think that's something that will also come back to haunt him.
I don't think he actually said that.
It's hard to tell. Jim's such
thinking.
A good voice.
I know. He's such a good mimic.
This is not a political atmosphere in which Republicans can count on escaping blame if and when Washington's shenanigans damage the economy. Obama just decisively won an election turned heavily on public perceptions of which party is really on the side of working Americans, which one is really on the side of the wealthy. Polls have shown majorities see Republicans as the uncompromising party in Washington, so the public is likely to be inclined to blame them, at least in part, for the continued standoff without paying close attention to the details. Put simply, Republicans have more to lose politically than the reelected Obama does. A top aide, a GOP aide, told Political recently a government shutdown fight, oh, I love this, might be necessary for Republican lawmakers to get the need for apocalyptic confrontation with Obama out of their systems. Like, what, a five-year-old having a tantrum? Just, okay, just for member management purposes?
What?
And so the sequester is apparently necessary for the rank and file to get the need to stick it to Obama out of their system. Yeah, that's really what democracy should be all about, right? We'll see how this plays out, Chris. The Washington Post writes, but it seems highly unlikely they'll be able to escape damage here. I agree. I love that. We're just waiting for them to finish spinning on their backs in the Walmart parking lot. Is that it?
Yeah, we're waiting for them to tire themselves out.
All right. Tucker yourself out. Okay. Here's a popsicle.
Someone didn't
get
a nap.
Go to bed. John in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have, two observations and one statement. Observations being you and Jackie Schechner, as I observe the two of you every chance I get every morning when I get off of work.
Sounds kind of dirty.
Well, this is like the
creepy, sexy
liberal headquarters.
Yes, it is. All right, John, go ahead.
Okay, now my statement. Back to about a subject ago on video games.
Yes.
I'm 43, and I've been playing everything from Pong to World of Warcraft. You know, I've worked in video game stores, things like that, and there's a reason why they have ratings.
Right.
Therefore, so, you know, I don't blame video games at all. I know it sounds kind of inappropriate, but that's kind of like blaming the gun when somebody gets killed.
I disagree with you. I blame all of it. I mean, there is something going on increasingly this is becoming a weekly occurrence, isn't it? I mean, literally,
yeah,
like massacres with guns, with, you know, young guys that are addicted to video games is becoming a weekly thing. We shouldn't look at all of it. Mental health, I mean, all of it. I mean, we can say, obviously, everyone with a gun's not going to do this. Everyone that plays video games isn't going to do this. And everyone with a mental illness isn't going to do this. But there's some toxic brew going on, don't you think?
Yeah, but I actually place the blame, I do place the blame squarely on the parents who go out and buy the games for, you know, little Jimmy. So he won't throw a tantrum because all of it is incredibly...
I'm happy to blame parents too, since I'm not a parent. I'm happy to blame parents everywhere for everything. All right.
Well, then.
As a childless loser, I am the perfect parent. I have made no mistakes at all.
I'm going to be doing a video game later today.
Is it a first-person shoot 'em up?
I don't think so.
Who used to say that? I don't mean to blame my parents for everything, but they were there. Lynn in Delaware, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. My subject has to do with gun control issue and how the NRA and the Republicans seem to really be honing in mostly on the mental health issue. And I have to say that I agree with that, you know, there should be more emphasis on our mental health. But I think that the first people who should be examined should be these Republican legislators who are pushing for these everybody with guns laws. Make it okay. You know, we're all going to be okay if everybody has a gun.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's crazy. So they're the first ones in line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was the gun facts from the Mother Jones article we were reading about, you know, number of massacres stopped by someone with an assault weapon? Zero.
Zero. Yeah, exactly.
Zero. Exactly zero.
By the way, the author of that article is coming on with us tomorrow.
Hey, how about that?
How does that happen? So much happens when I'm drunk and napping. Okay. So.
We send to the booking department. Hey, we want this person.
Hello, booking department?
We have a booking department?
Sure. We have scads and scads of people booking the show.
Get me Fernando Llamas.
I've got to sober up. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour.
You sign their checks.
Oh, really? I have really got to get to a program. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making more people spit coffee on themselves than any other radio show in America. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Put down the legs!
22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath. Love us some TheraBreath mouth-wetting lozenges. Talking to you, Marco Rubio. Marco Big Gulp Rubio could have used these. Pop a great-tasting Mandarin Mint TheraBreath lozenge and help stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast.
Yep.
TheraBreath mouth-wetting lozenges available at Target, Walmart, and Walgreens, and other fine stores.
They're tasty, and they really do work.
They have mouthwash and toothpaste. And yep. I love it, love it, love it. Okay. 1-8... And I'm 50.
I can kick.
And I can kick.
Stretch.
Right.
And kick.
Exactly. Okay. David in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
It's a real privilege to be on your show.
Thank you.
I want to talk about gun control as well. I hate to be a bummer, but...
Don't harsh my buzz, dude.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, especially in Santa Fe. My good friend Mark was one of the two people shot down in the Phoenix office shooting, I think, on January 29th.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I have a lot of friends on Facebook who, throughout all of these rashes of shootings, have held fast that you're never going to take my guns and, you know, holding the party line and blah, blah, blah. But I guess my point that I want to make is, you know, I've always been in the middle of the road. I like shooting guns. I like going out to the desert shooting guns. I don't own a gun because I'm an Italian. I'm a hothead. That probably doesn't mix. But just wait.
What do you shoot in the desert? What do you get mad at? Cactuses and stuff?
I've had friends. I used to work at the newspaper. I had friends that were outdoor writers, and they had guns. And I would shoot with them, and it was under, you know, supervised conditions when you're not around people. But, you know, so I understand that people like guns. But my point is, you know, in all
There's an easy background check. Are you Italian? No, can't have one. Sorry.
Well, but that's the point I want to make. You know, when someone you love is shot down, you are forever changed. And a lot of the people that have been, you know, saying and writing these things about how they love their guns, blah, 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 I wonder what they would say the day after a loved one was shot and killed. Now, the person who shot my friend was 70 years old, okay? He wasn't a young guy in video games. He had some mental issues, whatever. You know, why can't it, if you buy a gun, it's like, you know, my 71-year-old dad with Parkinson's, he's got to, if he wants to get his driver's license re-up in Florida, he's got to probably go, you know, take a test. you know, why can't we test people? If you buy a gun, you're forever linked to have to be tested to see, you know, are you competent? Are you,
yeah.
Do you have anger issues? I mean, it can be as simple as that. And I don't see, you know, if you are competent, you got nothing to worry about, you know, but if you're not, you should not have a gun.
Yep.
You know?
I hear you. All right, honey. Yeah. And I'm a little terrified about the DMV. My mom's 90 and she just got hers renewed. And that is really.
Does she really drive?
And I was like, Mom, you were a bad driver when I was like 10.
Does she drive? Really?
She's one of those people, she moves the wheel for no reason all the time because she's very nervous. Mm. Yes, she drives.
Because she's used to the rack and pinion steering of the 1960s.
Where
you could move it like this and it's still.
Right. It was,
Mom,
was
you don't need to move it.
Yes. That was a horrible hydraulic, you know, what should we call it?
Thank God you only have to drive
steering.
To the Harris Teeter like a block away.
Oh, okay, good.
There's so much play in there. Yeah. Am I turning? I don't know.
I'm pretending like I'm turning. It's like they're driving in a movie.
Right.
Okay, you don't need to. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, Toonses.
All right, Toonses, settle down. Kelly in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kel.
Good morning.
Hello.
I guess I would say I was kind of like you, Steph. I was raised in a Republican household and was brought up with most of the Republican beliefs. But as I got older and got out there and learned a little bit more about life, I kind of turned liberal.
Yeah.
But I have three girls right now. My husband and I are very careful about what we teach them. And when they get older, let them decide what party they want to be affiliated with.
Right.
My 12-year-old came home from school yesterday and told me that her history teacher is teaching her class that the government is coming to get their parents.
Oh, boy. Boy.
They're going to ban the Second Amendment.
Right.
And it's, I want to be the official ticked-off mom from Virginia. And
yeah.
It's crazy that these teachers are even allowed to do this, and I'm really tempted to call the school and call her out.
Well, you should.
Yeah,
I think you
definitely.
Should, because that's, you know, I mean, that's sowing paranoia in little kids. That, I mean, it's just, it's interesting. I'm looking at
your
this
parents
story.
Are commie spies. Don't trust anything
don't
they say.
Let your communist parents try to tell you that I'm wrong.
And they will. Oh, yes, they will.
They listen to Stephanie Miller, don't they? Okay. Yeah, how about this? How about if your kid's in school in Oklahoma?
Oh, this, yeah.
Insist that people coexisted with dinosaurs. Get an A in science class in Oklahoma.
But that's not science. That's most definitely not science.
In biology class, public school students can't generally argue that dinosaurs and people ran around Earth at the same time, at least not without risking a big fat F. But that could soon change for kids in Oklahoma. Isn't that magical? On Tuesday, the Oklahoma Common Education Committee expected to consider a House bill that would forbid teachers from penalizing students who turn in papers attempting to debunk almost universally accepted scientific theories such as evolution and climate change. Gus Blackwell, please and thank you. You'll be surprised to know a Republican state state representative, said, I proposed this bill because there are teachers and students who may be afraid of going against what they see in their textbooks.
But...
Well, some things in textbooks are wrong, but there are some, some
the latest in a series
well-established facts that...
This is the latest in an ongoing series of academic freedom bills aimed at giving your children the freedom to be wrong and dopey. Bills aimed at watering down the teaching of science on highly charged topics. Education Project Director at the National Center for Science Education said the problem with these bills is they're so open-ended, it's kind of code for people who are opposed to teaching climate change and evolution. An extremely high percentage of scientists will tell you that evolution doesn't have scientific weaknesses. If every teacher, parent, and school board can decide what to teach on their own, you're going to have chaos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chaos theory.
Yes. They're teaching chaos. Because then every class is just an opinion class.
Does there really have to be a right answer in a
2 plus 2. 7.
7?
Maybe.
104?
Okay.
Jesus rode to Nazareth on a dinosaur.
Okay. There's no such thing as right or wrong anymore.
And he was listening to Nazareth on his iPod.
Yes.
Right. Right. All right.
Oh, my God.
Ermagerd. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Excuse me, why do you have a picture of me?
Stephanie Miller.
And six drunken longshoremen rolling around on a rubber bed on your chest.
Oh, no, someone sent me video of... Oh, no, it's a dolphin saving a baby seal.
Oh.
Oh, so cute. Oh, no. Don't do that to me during the show. All right. How much do we love this headline? Employee at Stress Ball Company goes ape on boss and coworkers.
Oh.
Did he try to crush their heads?
Not very good.
I crush your head.
A temporary warehouse worker at a company that manufactures stress balls
oh, no.
exploded with rage after being told by his manager that he was being let go. Oh, boy.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, kind of.
That is. Actually.
Yeah.
Darren Baldwin pled guilty to...
Baldwin.
After being... He was arrested for punching his former boss in the face and pulling out two knives on coworkers who sought to calm him down.
Well.
According to prosecutor, Baldwin brandished the knives and shouted, "I will cut you.
I will crush your head.
And crush
your
head.
I will crush your head."
He was reportedly hired to pack boxes with stress balls. And the knives were part of his employee toolkit? That doesn't seem wise.
Probably to cut open the boxes.
Cut open the boxes. Stress balls, yeah.
He did not use his own product, apparently.
He didn't.
Isn't it ironic?
Oh.
Yes. Okay, Michael in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, go ahead.
All right, quick background. Recently separated from the military, young black kid from Memphis, Tennessee in the inner city, and a Democrat, so none of that stuff really mixes up well.
Okay.
That was a funny story that y'all just told about the dude with the knives because nobody ended up getting killed.
Yes.
Because it works with my subject. As far as the gun thing goes, why is it so hard to make people do background checks and all of this stuff? With me being military... One, we had to get a background check to get in. Two, you can't carry guns around base.
Ah, there you go.
Three, you have to qualify on guns every time you're about to use one, and you're strictly supervised when you check one out.
Yep.
Why is it that people that are supposedly sane
that sounds
qualified
like a,
to use a gun?
That sounds like a well-regulated militia of some sort. Why? What an idea.
Huh.
Hmm. Okay, Jason, my right-wing love muffin in Washington, D.C. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Steph, I was going to talk about the sequestration.
Yes.
And my question basically is this. Is there a certain dollar amount that you view that the government should be capped at in terms of how much it can borrow? Because just like lending money to an individual, at a certain point, they're never going to pay you back.
Right.
So is there an upper limit?
I feel that we're playing gotcha, but I'm not sure what the point is. Well, what would be the point of me having a certain number? Okay.
Hello?
All right. Well, that's
him. He wasn't expecting a question back.
I did a little jiu-jitsu on him.
You certainly
okay.
did.
Okay. Well, all right. Enjoyed that debate.
Ah, Sonia, said the wrong number.
Damn it.
Okay. He was like a slow loris with a being presented with a rice ball of facts.
Ooh. Oh, you brought up the rice balls again.
Hello, Tanya in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about the sequestration.
Okay.
We've already been through 4 years of sequestration from the Republicans.
How so?
Well, we were restricted from moving forward and passing some of the legislative requests.
Tanya, are you currently having a cocktail or two?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. You seem overly relaxed for the morning, but all right.
Well, I got my man right here, and he always relaxes me when he's doing his creative stuff.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
You rock on, sister. She's in a little, she's calling from her afterglow.
A little morning delight.
Nice.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I'm jealous. Grr, grumble. Okay, Wendy.
That's why you're so wound up tight every morning.
Exactly. I don't got no man. Calm me down. Wendy in Pennsylvania. Grumble. Hi, Wendy.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
I think this sequester situation could really be solved by a kindergartner, but here goes, okay?
Okay.
You could have corporations paying taxes, taxing transactions on Wall Street, and corporate welfare should be cut off. mixed up the subsidies for gas and oil company and the money they received back from the IRS.
There you go.
And
cut
our bloated military budget. And
done.
Yes, our military budget is premenstrual for sure.
Yes, and by some miracle, get into a single payer health care system, which would bang fix Medicare.
Like
bam.
They do in,
bam.
Countries.
Nothing but net. She's the smartest girl in class today. So there.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Just do all that stuff, and everything would be great.
Mary in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Oh, I love you all's show.
Thank you.
I'm a long time caller, but I'm just not getting in.
Okay.
But I love the chemistry that you all have.
Oh, you're like the Beatles. Okay.
Okay, what I was calling about, if I'm not mistaken, it was a caller calling last week about Tennessee was passing a law or was going to pass a law to carry concealed weapons in their car.
Right.
Well, if they carry the concealed weapons in their car, wouldn't that mean that if the weapon's in their car and everybody know that they're carrying a weapon, people will be breaking in their cars to put more guns on the street?
Yeah, sure. yeah, there you go. It's just, again, why more guns is always a good idea, particularly around alcohol. Okay, by the way, a lot of people have been talking about John McCain at the town hall. Oh, Grampy. He did not have town halls.
It's not the policy.
Not the policy to ask him questions, apparently, at a town hall.
And you're a senator with the federal government, and you're doing nothing about it. You said, build a dang fence. Where's the fence?
In case you missed it, I showed you that it's not a fence, it's a banana. We've put up a banana with about $600 million worth of appropriations we have. Sir, you're entitled to your opinion. You're not entitled to your facts. The facts are that we have made significant improvements on the border.
Oh, okay, Grampy, tell us the story again about the banana and the onion belt.
To his defense, he was pointing at a banana-shaped curve on a graph.
Ah, okay.
So you couldn't see that.
Right.
You have a banana.
That's why I wore a banana on my belt.
Are you really asking for that?
We can only get green bananas because of the war.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
I think everyone's memorized this by now.
Of course.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
All right, we've heard.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
Okay. Got it. All right, more town hall with Grampy.
Everybody in this audience right here, you're taking away from their Social Security to give it to an dependent class of people.
Taking away from their Social Security.
That's right.
This is an Orwellian experience. I've had enough, sir. You've had enough.
When I retire,
you've had enough time. You've had enough time.
Wow.
You've had enough time. Go ahead, sir.
Stop.
Wow. This is what
giving
happens.
My money to the brown people.
This is what happens when you unleash whack jobs like the Tea Party.
Tea Party.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they come back
to
bite their mess.
And they yell at even Republicans who aren't far enough right for them.
That's what it means. That was code.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And Senator McCain.
We really tried to be polite here. And if you can't be polite, then please don't speak up, because people are entitled to hear people's opinion. You know something? Again, I've had town hall meetings for 30 years. People are very happy that I have town hall meetings, and I listen to them and I get back to them. And that's what this is all about. But occasionally I get a jerk like you here, so thank you. Go ahead, man.
That's funny. You didn't seem very polite at the old, let's say, the Chuck Hagel hearing. Or the Hillary hearing. Oh, well, because it doesn't go both ways. Kevin in North Carolina. Hi, Kev. Hello, Kevin. Kevin going once, going twice. Daryl in Michigan. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say I am in complete agreement with you, Stephanie, on the gun issue. Here's my recipe for disaster. One part depression, one part violent video games, one part isolation, one part bullying, but you only get 40% there. Yet you add 60%, which is access, and there's your disaster.
Yep, absolutely. It's a toxic brew going on, is my only point. Maya in North Carolina. Hi, Maya.
Hi, how are you? You are the sunshine of my day. You just make my day every day.
Moonshine. Okay, go ahead, Maya.
Okay, I want to talk to you about how in this last election, North Carolina was taken over by Republicans. We now have a Republican governor who cut unemployment by like a third. And also in the same week, they cut the estate taxes for the rich so that people who have huge pieces of property don't have to pay as much. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that special? Yeah. It's what I mean. It's the same, whether it's the federal level or the state level. And it's Phil in L.A. Hi, Phil. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm a little disappointed to find out that John McCain's bizarre comment about a banana wasn't just a non sequitur. I like thinking that. In any case, one of the, I know that you guys pay attention to the news a lot, as do I. I'm wondering if anybody has heard any Republican give a specific proposal related to mental health when they talk about gun control. They talk about
they have a specific proposal, and that is to cut funding for mental health.
I'm actually being serious. Has there been any specific proposal that they've talked about? Any one of them?
No, they're too busy trying to suck up to the NRA and make sure that nothing gets done about guns at all.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what I was saying. You've got to look at all of the issues and come. Everybody, you know, needs to come to the table. Look at me. I'm out here in Hollywood smacking on video games. I'm doing my part. Even you're not with me on that, are you?
No.
45 minutes after the hour.
I mean,
I've got a constituency of nobody. 45 minutes.
Canada has weapons and video games, and they don't have mass murder either. So does Tokyo.
45 minutes after the hour. Right. Hey, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. If you have half a brain.
It is the Stephanie
Miller. She was not drinking pina coladas. She was getting pleasured by her man.
Right.
Wow.
Our last caller. Yikes. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sucks to be me. I'm working here. All right. I mentioned this earlier to Carl Frisch. This is huge. The Obama administration is considering urging the Supreme Court to overturn California's ban on gay marriage, a move that could have far-reaching impact on same-sex couples across the country. The administration has 1 week to file a friend of the court brief. Friend, not in a gay way.
Right. It's an amicus brief.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a legal thing.
Yeah.
Outlining its opinion on Prop 8, while administration brief alone unlikely to sway the high court, the government's opinion does carry weight with the justices. Opponents of Prop 8 believe the president signaled his intention to file a brief when he talked about all that stuff in the inaugural, about Stonewall, etc., that gays must be treated like anyone else under the law. While the Justice Department would make the filing, the president certain to make the ultimate decision, he said in an interview a few days ago, I have to make sure I'm not interjecting myself too much in this process, particularly when we're not a party to the case. But this could be a huge thing. One legal expert said if they do make that argument and the court accepts it, the ramifications could be very sweeping. The administration could also file a narrower brief that would ask the court to issue a decision applying only to California or decide not to weigh in on the case at all. It's March 26th. It's coming up very, very quickly.
It is.
Very exciting.
Yes.
By the way, have you seen the Respect for Marriage Coalition ad?
Yeah.
Laura Bush, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell are in it?
Kinda.
Sort of.
Yeah.
None of us would want to be told we can't marry the person we love. That's why a growing majority of Americans believe it's time to allow marriage for gay and lesbian couples.
When couples are committed, they ought to have, I think, the same sort of rights that everyone has.
Allowing them to live together with the protection of law, it seems to me, is the way we should be moving in this country.
Freedom means freedom for everyone.
Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law.
It's time for marriage.
Yay!
But that'll lead to dogs marrying aardvarks. I'll be more impressed when they actually sit down and make a specific ad instead of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, all
things that sound freedom-ish.
Exactly.
That could apply.
Right. If they sit down and make an ad for this coalition and, you know, they say.
Dick Cheney also believes in the freedom to shoot your friend in the face when you're drunk and get away with it.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they're for marriage equality, but. I should work a little harder to fight for it.
Thank you. Sue in Rockville. So you just work on getting me someone to marry. Sue in Rockville.
You're on your own with that.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's all theoretical for me anyway.
I'll get right to it. I'll do my very best for you, Steph.
Hello.
Okay?
Yes.
Two quick things. First of all, as Rachel said on the show last night, you know, it's very easy to stop the sequestration bill. They can just vote to repeal it.
Oh.
If they all decided they don't like it anymore, all they have to do, they passed the bill, they can repeal the bill.
There you go. There you go.
So that's a simple answer. Boehner
said, if we think it's a bad idea, too.
So just have a vote. Everyone repeal it. Goes through both houses. The president will sign it. Then they'll have to get to work. But at least we will stop this phony, baloney, you know, edge of your seat cliff crap.
Well, and
all
Sue,
the time.
First Boehner needs to finish the argument with himself. Does he think it's a magical idea, like he said in this PowerPoint, or does he think it's a horrible idea? The president's a great treason.
Drinking does affect memory.
Right.
The other thing is, I am the official parenting specialist of the Stephanie Miller Show, you remember.
Right, indeed.
So a comment about all the issues about parenting. It is the parents' fault, okay? Children cannot be continually blamed, even older children. When the parent who called before about what that teacher said, she said, I think maybe I should call the school. Yes! You are the kid's advocate. Call the school. It's inappropriate. You are the staunch defender of your child.
Yep.
Number two, my son played lots of violent video games. When I thought he was playing too much and he was losing a little control, we pull the games, and I'd say to him, you can have a Nintendo-free life. I will burn this sucker in the backyard. You're going to take 2 days off now. And you have to monitor. You're the parent. You're going to get blamed anyway. So do it. Be a parent.
Or can't they just be limited to games like Super Mario Kart or something like that? Games where you don't blow heads off people?
Well, you know what, Bar Baby number one plays?
What?
He's almost 10. He plays Dragon Veil. It's a game where you
Sword
hatch
elves.
Dragons create habitats. It's fabulous.
Yeah, a shudder just went down my spine.
Must parenting be so strident? It just sounds exhausting. All right.
It's a 24/7 exhaustion.
Whatever. All right, I love
but
you, Sue.
But it's worth it.
All right.
I love you.
I love you. She's a parenting specialist that brings a baby to a bar. Seriously, we had a member in her parents' house.
Look at you. You have a baby.
In a bar.
In Bethesda, Maryland.
Right. She brought us. We were doing an appearance in a bar.
Uh-huh.
Look at her. A baby. Did you see this story? A woman claimed she was fired for voting for Obama.
Yeah.
How about this? A Kettering woman alleges in the lawsuit she was fired for voting for President Obama. A Dayton-based defense contractor, Q-Mark. The owner, Roberta Bobby Gentile. Her name's Bobby Gentile. Her lawsuit claims that Gentile threatened employees with termination last year if President Obama was reelected, and that Obama supporters would be the first to be terminated if he were reelected. We heard a lot of these stories.
How would you know?
She asked. Her suit says her voting preferences came up in conversation the day after the election. She was fired November 9th. Ms. Kunkel was laid off for economic reasons, nothing more, says the...
Sure.
The suit also says Gentile engaged Q-Mark employees in conversations aimed at discovering their political affiliations and reportedly disparaged Obama supporters.
All right.
The main
thing is
I pronounced
illegal.
Disparaged correctly.
Yes.
Well, you did, for the first time in ever.
Come here for me. Hey, speaking of the election, wow, is this exciting. Romney will thank good friends and supporters at CPAC.
Wow.
All seven of them.
Don't want to miss that.
Ooh, doesn't miss that sizzle.
I'm guessing there won't be any camera phones allowed.
Oh, there'll be some.
Yes.
Yeah.
He will thank supporters of his presidential bid.
Both of them.
In his company speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference.
Yeah.
He said, I look forward to saying thank you to the many, not that many, friends and supporters who were instrumental in helping my campaign go down to electoral landslide defeat.
He's
very helpful.
He's going to be talking to the most conservative of the conservative. They really didn't care for him.
No.
At all.
They missed the sizzle, though.
Yeah. And once again, G.O. Proud,
yes.
They've been banned from appearing at the conference, and Log Cabin Republic has just said, no, we're not even going
to
bother.
They are not allowed to play in any of their reindeer games.
They don't like the gay over there at the
CPAC. How about the bye, as in Clive Davis? Fight, 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 Kelly Clarkson and Clive Davis, fight, fight, fight.
I'm on Kelly Clarkson's side on this.
I'm on Kelly Clarkson's side in everything behind these hazel eyes, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know what the issue is.
Oh, well, here, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
She wrote, I just heard Clive Davis is releasing a memoir spreading false information about me and my music. She's a drama queen. I love it. I refuse to be bullied. I just have to clear up his memory lapses and misinformation for myself and my fans. She denies she ever broke down in his office over the inclusion of Since You've Been Gone. Love it.
One of her biggest
hits.
Hazel
Eyes. Mm-hmm. Love it. On her Breakaway album. I did cry once after I played him a song I'd written called Because of You. Love it. Oh, she has the best bitter breakup songs. I cried because he hated it and told me verbatim I was a writer who should be grateful for the gifts that he bestows upon me.
Wow.
You go on, Kelly. She's going to write a song about him now. You just... What's her name? Taylor Swift. She's going to go all Taylor Swift on him. It's going to be a messy breakup. All
Turns
right.
out her life doesn't suck without him.
Right?
Yeah.
No, since he's been gone. All right. Adam Schiff next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. Why? Because he just popped right out of our TV into our studio. There he is. Congressman Adam Schiff from the great state of, well, from right there.
Right
from
here.
From
right
his
here.
District right is right there. There.
Yeah.
Right outside the window.
In Burbank. Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Great to be here.
I'm looking at the Chiron on the TV now. Is the Democrats asking Boehner to, let's get back to work. Let's get back to Washington.
Yeah.
We should. We
right.
Should.
If he thinks the sequester is such a bad idea, let's repeal it. Let's get to work.
And it is a really bad idea. Yeah. It cuts the good with the bad, the efficient with the inefficient.
Right.
And
and he now apparently thinks it's a really bad idea since he says it's the president's sequester, but he thought it was a really good idea back when he did this PowerPoint.
I got 90% of what I want.
Right. Oh, we have that. When he was on tape saying this, as you recall.
When you look at this final agreement that we came to with the White House, you know, I got 98% of what I wanted. I'm pretty happy.
But now it's the
but
worst
now
thing
it's
ever,
a bad
apparently.
Idea, and it's the president's idea, as you know. Someone said the new hashtag for Boehner, who got 98% of what he wanted, hashtag that 2%'s a bitch. But what do you, I mean, where do we go from here? This is, of course, this was, as you know, designed when everybody agreed to it to bring people to the table.
It was. And, I think what we're confronting right now is the GOP leadership needs to do this for their members, for their Tea Party wing of the party. One of the Republican staff, I think, said quite revealingly that this is part of member management.
Yeah. They said literally, they needed to get this out of their system. They need to, they need to kind of get their antipathy toward the president out of their system. What are they, 5-year-olds?
It's crazy. And what's so frustrating about it is here we are, I think, really poised to recover economically, finally.
Right.
If the Congress would just get out of the way and stop throwing these man-made crises as roadblocks every three or 6 months. And, I think the president is doing the right thing, going above the heads of Congress, going out to the American people, talking about, the real pain that's going to be inflicted here. And you have this schizophrenic message coming back from the House GOP saying it's a terrible thing, it's not such a bad thing.
Right. Well, as we've always said, they got to finish the argument with themselves before they can start talking to us. But I don't get, I've read, we were talking Chris Saliza, in the Washington Post today. Republicans are not going to win this politically. I mean, the president's approval rate is at 55. The, congressional Republicans at 1% higher than chlamydia or something. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think you're right. The GOP is not going to win this, and they keep thinking that it's a problem with how they're communicating their message. It's really not about...
No, we get it.
No, that's the problem. We do get the message. It's just not a particularly good message, and it's not the right issue, and it's not the right priorities for the country.
Right.
And, I think they're going to suffer us through this and the country through it, and then they'll come to see...
Don't you think things like this are going to come to haunt Boehner?
If some of those jobs are lost in this, so be it. We're broke. Ooh. It's time for us to get serious about how we're spending the nation's money.
So be it.
So be it.
Well, yes.
Jobs, big deal.
Hopefully it'll be some of the jobs of those that are pushing this.
Exactly.
His would be a good one to start with, yeah.
It is astounding. And when you think about what they're fighting so hard to protect, it's things like special tax status for hedge fund billionaires and oil company special tax loopholes. And these are things that they're willing to, go to the mat for and willing to shed jobs for and willing to impede the recovery for. And that's their principle?
Well, we all remember how we got here, that they took the nation's full faith and credit hostage. They literally were crazy enough, I guess, to, we obviously got our first downgrade in history. So that's how we got here. How do we get out of here?
Well, you know, I think they're just going to have to get pounded politically before they'll see the light. And, you know, I think the speaker at heart is a pragmatist, but he's got a very unpragmatic membership to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I could see him in private saying, and not that he has, but, well, look, if they need to get hammered politically and at the polls, then I guess that's what it's going to take to let them know that this is not the way we want to run the country.
Congressman, but as we know, with the gerrymandering, a lot of their districts are safe. How do they get punished politically? As we know, 1.4 million more people voted for Democrats and for Congress than Republicans, and yet they still control Congress. That probably will remain the case, right, in 2014?
No, you're right. It's a real problem, and we need a national redistricting reform.
Yeah.
But I think what will happen is those that are in the most gerrymandered districts, they'll still be held harmless politically. But those that aren't will really suffer the repercussions, the GOP members that are in the moderate and swing districts. And there are a great many, enough to determine the majority in the House.
Right.
And it's those members that are going to scream bloody murder. The Tea Party people are killing them politically. And they'll get dragged down if their leadership goes along with bringing us to a halt with the sequestration, then with the government shutdown and all of these other man-made crises.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it doesn't matter what issue you turn to. I was reading this story. President Obama reached out to Marco Big Gulp Rubio and other Republicans working on immigration reform, looking to bury the hatchet after, you know, this leaked memo from the White House. He called Lindsey Graham.
Sure.
Who got off the fainting couch to take the call. John McCain tried unsuccessfully to reach Jeff Flake because he's a flake. You can never reach him. But I mean, it really is incredible. In recent days, Rubio repeatedly condemned Obama's bill, even as it hewed toward policy goals that he has largely endorsed himself. It's the same ideas. I mean, he said his office complained about a lack of engagement from the White House. Which is it? Is the White House too engaged or they're not engaged enough? Or get out of the way? I mean, it's just the president, you know.
Too not engaged enough.
Right.
Too much.
A claim the administration rebutted by noting he had held several meetings with the Gang of Eight, including Rubio's staff. So, anyway, the courtesy call seems to have had the calming effect. His Rubio spokesman, you know, was conciliatory and said that he's optimistic about a deal or whatever. But, I mean, it doesn't matter whether he nominates a Republican for Secretary of Defense. They're against that. It doesn't matter if it's the exact same ideas they have in their immigration plans. That they're just against it.
It's really true. And, in fact, I remember a couple of years ago speaking with one of my GOP Senate colleagues, mm-hmm. and he was part of the Gang of Six that was working on a big budget agreement or compromise. And he said, you know what killed us? And I said, what? And he said, when the president said some nice things about what we were doing. That just killed us. And isn't that sad that that's where we are? But
is going on? This is worse than Clinton derangement syndrome. Obviously the right would call it Bush derangement syndrome that, you know, Democrats had maybe to some degree. But this is different, isn't it?
I think it's a part of the broader phenomenon where some of the GOP so demonize the president or they so demonize immigrants or whatnot that when they have to walk back, from the propaganda they've been putting out, it's very tough. They kind of walk themselves on a ledge, mm-hmm. and coming back in off that ledge is very tough. And on immigration, I find it really interesting that, you know, they dump on the president for this leaked plan, but the leaked plan looks a lot like the plan they're working on.
Right.
And, you know, you have this, again, this kind of schizophrenia with, oh, that's a terrible, half-baked idea, whatever, but how do you like our...
It literally in the last week has been, why won't the president lead? Why is the president getting in the way? It's like you can't... I don't understand what... I mean, even on sequestration, what... I mean, Republicans are on TV, as you know, all this weekend saying it's going to happen. I mean, there's... I guess there just is no negotiating with them, and I don't know where that leaves us.
Well, it leaves the country in a terrible position,
sure.
where we're just our own worst enemy. And, you know, in the best case, and, you know, still a high hurdle, but at the end of March, we're going to have to avoid shutting down the government. And it's certainly possible that we could work on a global resolution of the sequester at that time, when we figure out, you know, what's the budget for the government going to be. But that's probably the best case scenario. And, and who knows, you know, where the GOP...
You're talking about a stopgap measure or something that will solve it?
Well, not that it will solve it. I think to do that by the end of March is probably unrealistic, but something that might get us to the end of the year, or at least to the fall.
All right.
That's
kicking the can a little further down the road than I was expecting, so that's like a plus.
We haven't done it yet.
Such a low bar for Congress. We're like, all right. Chad in Ohio, you're on with Congressman Schiff. Go ahead. Hey, Chad.
Hi. Listen, I live in Hamilton, Ohio. I'm in Boehner's congressional district. And I am just appalled. First of all, he ran unopposed. He was so gerrymandered, they couldn't find a Democrat to run against him.
Wow.
And which makes me pissed off because that takes away my right to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know about this until I went to vote, and then there's nobody opposing. And then the other thing is...
Well, I agree with Congressman Schiff that I think out of just a basic sense of fairness, we really ought to have a redistricting bill. I mean, because this can work both ways. I mean, Democrats could do it too, right?
Well, right. And the other thing is I'm thinking about calling the ACLU and see if there's any way we can get a lawsuit against this gerrymandering, because I think it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It really depends on how the gerrymander was done. A lot of them are upheld constitutionally, but if there are impermissible factors, if there's, for example, a design to dilute minority voting strength, then it can be struck down.
Hmm. Right.
But if it's done just for political advantage, that's not a basis to strike down a redistricting plan.
Hmm. All right. Kevin in North Carolina, we're going to talk about guns with the congressman in a moment. Hi, Kev. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Go ahead.
Yeah, my comment, first time listening, first time being on the show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The lady said something about the pepper spray in the class.
She said she has to get training just to use pepper spray. Why is there so little, requirements for gun ownership?
Right. Well, in sixth grade, I mean, in my school or my state, everybody was required to take a hunter safety class.
Really?
So at sixth grade, they believe that the average adolescent is smart enough to, handle a weapon and use it appropriately.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a regional thing. We didn't have that in Catholic school in Buffalo. And I wish I did to defend myself from the nuns. But anyway, that's another story for another time. All right, we're going to talk gun control and all that with the congressman as we continue. 17 minutes after the hour. Kids, we all have carbonite here on our computers. I don't understand anyone that doesn't have it. I really don't.
I don't either.
We had an IT expert that just wrote in and said one of his people in his office lost everything in her computer, power outage. They had to call a data recovery company. They said it'll be $2,000 and we may not be able to get everything back. Yep. I mean, really? Really, kids? Carbonite, $59 for the entire year. That's for unlimited backup space. Carbonite keeps all your files safe up there in the cloud. You can easily recover them. Plus, you can access them from anywhere, from any computer, tablet, smartphone. It's like dragging your home computer with you everywhere.
I know. You wouldn't be able to get your home computer through security,
right.
Would you?
Not everyone is as muscly and roidy as Chris is and would be able to carry their home computer. I have Carbonite on all of my computers. You should, too. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Type in my offer code, Stephanie, for a free trial. No credit card required, plus two free bonus months with your subscription. Carbonite.com. The offer code is Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue. Representative Adam Schiff on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry. That's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. We are pleased and delighted to have Congressman Adam Schiff live in studio with us. So we were talking about, obviously, the Vice President's out talking about gun control. Where are we at this? It's hard to tell. You know, you watch the State of the Union, you go, wow, this is different. This is powerful. This is emotional. And then, you'll hear people say, oh, well, we're never going to get this or that done, or, assault weapons ban. What is the art of the possible right now?
I think it looks very likely that we will pass universal background checks, that we will pass legislation to attack trafficking and straw purchasers, that we'll have some kind of a mental health reform as well. The bigger lifts are an assault weapons ban, a ban on extended ammunition clips, which is also, I think, within reach, but difficult. One issue of great interest to me personally is trying to do away with the immunity enjoyed by the gun industry.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty heavy lift, frankly, because
that is stunning to me. I mean, every other kind of, product has liability, right? And incredible. I mean, the power the gun lobby has had, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you can see it quite directly reflected in this standalone immunity for one industry in America.
Right.
That can make a defective product, or that can be negligent in how they sell it. And
right. There can be bad actors, right, that sell to people they know are straw purchasers, right, that are going to resell them with no background checks.
Absolutely. And the good, I mean, 90% or more of gun sellers never sell a single weapon used in crime during the course of a year, not a single one. But then you have a handful, literally a handful, that will sell 50-60% of the weapons used in crime. And the good gun sellers will tell you they can see a straw purchaser coming from a mile away who comes in, wants to buy 12 or 20 of the same identical weapon, and unless they've got more hands than most people, it's unlikely they're going to be using them all themselves, but they're turning them over or selling them to people who can't pass the background check.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting. We were just talking about the latest story out here in Orange County, and I was saying that I think you have to look at every part of this, because this is becoming more than once weekly phenomenon around the country, isn't it? And we're out here in Hollywood, and I get, you know, pushback even from these guys when I bring up video games. But I'm going, how come it's always a young guy that, you know, and again, obviously access to weapons is a big thing. Video game, and again, I know you can't ban video games, but what do you think is this brew with mental health? I mean, maybe it's cutbacks in mental health. Maybe it's access to guns. I don't know what the combination is, but they are getting more and more deadly, and it's happening more and more often, right?
It is. It's really staggering how this has become such a frequent occurrence and just part of everyday life, and we can't accept that. That's just a terrible state of affairs. I think there are really two kind of injuries we're suffering right now. We have the everyday violence that claims lives all over the country, in inner cities and suburbs. It just seems to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we have these mass shootings, like in Newtown, which are a different kind of an injury, not only devastating to the people who are killed or injured, but it's an injury to the whole country. When you have something like Sandy Hook, the whole country feels that keenly. And I think we have a compelling interest in stopping both and preventing both the everyday gun violence we see on our streets as well as the horrific injury to the country itself that we see in a place like Sandy Hook.
I mean, I'm just curious, though, personally, what part do you think video games play in it? Just because I understand every side of the argument that they have, you know, even more violent video games in Japan, but that you can't get guns, so they don't have this epidemic. But, you know, for whatever reason, we have an epidemic here. And I know a couple experts were telling me because video games, unlike movies, are interactive, that this Adam Lanza, they were just saying that, you know, you get points for kills, and this becomes like there's no division, I guess, between, you know, reality and fantasy.
I don't know what the link is, and I know there have been studies that have looked at this, and the conclusions have been pretty indeterminate. But I do think, you know, it's something that we need to study, and I don't think there should be, frankly, any area that's off limits to be analyzed, whether it's video games or whether it's, you know, studying guns themselves, as we preclude ourselves from doing.
Right.
Looking at the.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, I think if every part of this discussion comes to the table and says, you know, that's got to be off the off the table. You know, we're never going to figure this out.
I do have to say also that some of these studies were sponsored by the video game industry. So, you know, you get...
And guess what a Colonel Sanders study says?
Yeah,
fried
exactly.
chicken is our favorite food.
So, you know,
it's the best food for you ever.
We just need to figure out a way to have a completely independent study to see what
all cholesterol
happens.
Is good cholesterol.
Right.
That's what the Colonel says.
Exactly. Yeah. Linda in Florida, you're on with Congressman Schiff. Hey, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Good morning. I am one of your loyal postal workers, and I want to know if it's looking good for us that Carl Levine and Senator Bernie Sanders are trying to put a bill through the Senate, and would it help us in the House, you know, to stop this five-day delivery? Because that's a lot of union jobs.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of union jobs. It's a lot of jobs that, you know, historically have helped a huge number of Americans enjoy being part of the middle class. And I think it's terrible that some of my colleagues are trying to do away with the six-day delivery.
Yeah.
It will certainly help to have legislation pass in the Senate. The tougher road is going to be in the House. Where
of course,
the GOP
because
is.
You have a boner saying things like, if we lose jobs, so be it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, many of my colleagues in the GOP in the House would like nothing better than to go to five-day delivery and then sell off the most profitable routes to private industry make the delivery of mail to the less profitable routes uneconomical, mm-hmm. And then see the Postal Service go away completely.
I'm for it because I'm so lonely. Many times the mailman's the only one I see on Saturday.
You are pathetic.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Congressman Schiff on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is turning into one very sexy struggle for the future of the human race.
Mm-hmm. 34 minutes after the hour. Frank writes, is it me or does the congressman sound like a younger, calmer, non-melodramatic version of William Shatner?
What? Have you ever heard that before?
I have not heard that before, but I do like Star Trek. So,
yeah, there you go.
Could you say Priceline?
No. Priceline.
Okay. All right.
This is Sulu. Somewhere out there.
Congressman Adam Schiff of the great state of California, live in studio with us. I've got to do this story with you because this is, you know, we always talk about how hard it is to govern today in Washington, how hard it is to work with Republicans.
You know, I'm sorry, but I can't think of anything but that we should boldly go where no man has gone before.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Do you have that out of your system now? Okay. All right. We were saying
these
because
are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Because what happens, whether it's Fox News or whatever, they literally, we've gotten to a point where they have their own set of facts, which is why they were so stunned when Mitt Romney lost, because they had their own polling numbers, their own math, their own, you know, we all saw Karl Rove's meltdown. But we were just talking about, there's a great story now, a Daily News reporter explains how he inadvertently created the myth that Chuck Hagel spoke to a non-existent Hamas group. But then this finds its way, this is why you have a United States senator like Rand Paul asking the Secretary of State about weapons in, you know, in
Turkey?
Right. It's like, what? It's some right-wing story, that, but it makes its way somehow into the mainstream. So this is Hugh Hewitt and Senator Rand Paul.
Let me bring up one piece of information that Ben Shapiro at Breitbart put out today, which is one of the foreign funders behind Senator Hagel that he has not yet disclosed formally is something called Friends of Hamas. If that is in fact true, Senator, would that lead you to vote against Mr. Hagel?
You know, I saw that information today also, and that is more and more concerning. With each day, there are new things coming out.
Okay.
It reminds me a little bit of when the North Koreans were very flattered that Kim Jong-un
yes.
was the sexiest man alive.
Right.
Yes.
In The Onion, which
right.
they didn't realize was a parody.
Right.
Because parody is not allowed in North Korea.
You've got to hear the fun facts of this. So the revelation could have doomed President Obama's nomination of Chuck Hagel, who's a Republican. He gave a paid speech to a group called Friends of Hamas. Fortunately for Hagel, this claim, which galloped across the internet, was bogus. I know, because I was the unwitting source. This is
wow.
Dan Friedman in the Daily News. He said, in the process, I became part of an inadvertent demonstration of how quickly partisan agendas in the internet can transform an obvious joke into a Washington talking point. Here's what happened. When rumors swirled that Hagel had received speaking fees from controversial organizations, I attempted to check them out. I called a Republican aide on Capitol Hill with a question. Did Hagel's Senate critics know of controversial groups that he had addressed? Remember the whole hostility to Israel, et cetera. So I asked my source, had Hagel given a speech to, say, the Junior League of Hezbollah in France? What about Friends of Hamas? The names were so over the top, so linked to terrorism in the Middle East, it was clear I was talking hypothetically and hyperbolically. No one could have taken seriously the idea that organizations with those names existed, let alone a former senator would speak to them.
Except at right-wing radio, where they're taken all very seriously and snarkily.
Right. So, and then on February 7th, there it is, Breitbart.com screamed the headline, Secret Hagel Donor, White House Spokesperson Ducks Question on Friends of Hamas. I mean, this is what it read on Thursday. Senate sources told Breitbart News exclusively they've been informed one of the reasons President Obama's nominee for Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, has not turned over requested documents on his sources of foreign funding is that one of the names listed is a group purportedly called Friends of Hamas. Then, as it does, right, it goes social media. That Shapiro, who wrote the thing for Breitbart, tweeted it to 40,000 Twitter followers. RedState.com picks it up,
right?
National Review's Mike Huckabee on Fox News said rumors of Chuck Hagel's having received funds from Friends of Hamas would, if true, disqualify him. And this is how this stuff takes on a life of its own. And to that clip we just played mm-hmm. for you, I am, it seems, he writes, the creator of the Friends of Hamas myth. Doing my job, I erred in counting on confidentiality and the understanding that my example was farcical and by assuming that no one would print an unchecked rumor. But this is the kind of world we live in, and that you have to operate in, you know, as a legislator.
It is crazy, and I think we saw a lot of that kind of hyperbole played out in the whole Benghazi business when they went after Susan Rice for something she had no involvement in.
Neither does Chuck Hagel.
For and they're relying holding, on right. you know, the best intelligence that our director could produce. And
they're holding up, filibustering for the first time in history, a cabinet appointment mm-hmm. over something he had nothing to do with, Benghazi. I mean, it really is. We have just reached a point that every time I think I've never seen this, it gets worse, right?
It is. It's absolutely incredible. And you know that you're in kind of an alternate universe when Karl Rove becomes the voice of reason of the party.
Right.
But that's where the GOP is right now.
Yeah. Well, I was saying at least they haven't descended to base name-calling.
I think the president's a thief. I think he's stealing. When we borrow 46 cents of every dollar, he's stealing from our kids.
And I believe that you're an idiot.
This is the hyperbole, right, that we've gotten to.
It's incredible. I mean, I still remember sitting in shock as one of the House members called the president a liar during the State of the
yes,
Union.
Yes, to his face, during the State of the Union.
I mean, that is still staggering to me, but that's the kind of world we're in these days.
Yeah. I think the look on Nancy Pelosi's face said it all at that particular moment. That we've arrived at this place. Well, you know, like I was saying, with the gerrymandering, I'm just not sure how we get out of this. I would like to think, I mean, do you have any hope in 2014 that, I mean, we'd be able to gain some leverage at least?
Absolutely. I mean, if they continue down this path of repeated economic crises, the Americans are going to respond and they are going to rebel against this. And it didn't work for them when they did it in 94. It's not going to work now. But it's an awful price for the country to pay to have to go through two more years of this before they get the message. I would have hoped they got the message in the last election.
Yeah.
Lost the presidential race. They lost seats in the Senate. They lost seats in the House. And they're walking away like they won the election.
Somebody just wrote that. Yes, I'm forgetting where. But the Republicans just keep thinking, oh, they need one more election. Just one more election. Like, how many elections are you going to have where you go, no, the American people get it. We get your message, not the messenger. It's the message. It's the same message, right?
It is. It is. And, you know, I think that many of the, you know, what used to be referred to as the Rockefeller Republicans, and it's interesting you have to go back to Rockefeller to find a name for it, but they look at today's GOP and they see it as this train going down the tracks and they see the ravine coming and there's no bridge there.
Right.
And they're like, why doesn't the rest of the party see what's happening here? And the train's just getting closer mm-hmm. and closer. But unfortunately,
it's like in Speed when that part of the highway isn't done and they don't know. It's not finished yet.
Unfortunately, though, you know, we're all riding on that train because they're doing this to the national economy. And it's terrible.
To reference another movie, they're going the wrong way. If you're planes, trains, and automobiles aficionados like we are.
You're going the wrong way!
Just saying. All right. Michael in Orange County, you're on with Congressman Schiff. Hello, Michael.
Hey there, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Yeah, I'm from Buffalo, New York. I had no idea that you were until hello, homegirl. How you doing?
Hi.
I went to. I'm actually the only black guy in Orange County, and I feel like the only like liberal too. And I'm a worship leader at my church, so I just get pounded with the rhetoric every day. Yeah. And it's like I found you a few months ago, and you're like a bastion of hope out there. So kudos to you,
Michael. I used to have one of my dear friends lived in Orange County in a gated community, and I visited just once. It was too creepy.
Just once.
What are all the gates for? To keep out the blacks and Jews?
I know. And then you got Dorner running around. I wanted to wear a T-shirt like "Hold your fire." I'm not him. You know.
I'm like, everyone looks the same. you wanted to ask about gerrymandering, yeah?
Correct. Yeah. I'm just wondering if you could ask the congressman, like, we see it coming in slow motion and it's like it's stopping Congress from moving forward. Okay, how does it happen and why don't the Democrats fight it? Like, I mean, seriously, they're stealing our country. That's my question.
Well, redistricting reform has been done really state by state. And, you know, what we've seen in many respects is in the red states and the most GOP states, they don't pass redistricting reforms. They continue to gerrymander and elect Republicans. In the bluer states like California, we ungerrymander, as we did with our Citizens Commission. So you have a lot of the blue states kind of unilaterally politically disarming, a lot of the red states retaining the gerrymander. The only way to confront that, I think, is to have a national redistricting reform that requires all states to set up an independent process to draw the lines. That's hard to accomplish because it's against the self-interest of the people in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think we need to raise the profile of this issue because it may be the most significant reform we could have. And have the biggest impact in ending sort of the polarization
that
we see.
It just seems, as Michael just said, just decidedly undemocratic.
It is. Yeah. It is undemocratic to have the electeds choosing their voters instead of the voters choosing the electeds.
Is it true that we actually, that Democrats won more votes for Congress, but it got less people into the House? Is that a true number?
I think that's exactly right. The Democrats won the popular vote, but still don't control the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Michael, good points. I'm coming behind the orange curtain to get you. Don't worry.
Yeah, you come on down now. Hey, I went to South Park High School. Is it okay to say where you went?
Yeah, I went to DeSales Catholic High School in Lockport.
Oh, all right.
Up the tram in Lockport. All right.
All the hotties.
Yeah. I'll get some Jenny Cream Ale. I'll come down there and I busted my friend out of Orange County. I'll get you out. Don't you just wait there.
Get me.
Help is on the way. Eat it. Help is on the way. All right.
By the way, listener James tweeted, before he leaves, Congressman Schiff needs to say, you're listening to smooth jazz. You have the best smooth jazz voice of anybody in Congress.
Captain Kirk and smooth jazz.
That's right.
I'll go into my head.
Do it, please.
What do you want me to say?
You're listening to smooth jazz.
You're listening to smooth jazz.
Oh, that is fabulous. You have a future, my son.
You do.
All right.
You're listening to smooth jazz.
On the Starship Enterprise.
45 minutes after the hour. He's fun.
Yeah.
He's a bubbly congressman. We'll be right back. Representative Adam Schiff.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, Congressman Adam Schiff live in studio with us. Very, very exciting. From Burbank, from right here.
Well, yeah. And,
it's not like he puts a lot of effort into it.
And West Hollywood, where I just moved to, so he is now my congressman.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes.
Is this the part of the show we reserve for bitching about local issues that we would like fixed?
Just tell me where the speed bump is.
Yeah.
I'll take care of it.
Actually, yeah, West Hollywood is pretty good with its potholes.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody called and asked if you could help about the Saturday delivery for the post office. Here is some good news. Now you can dress like a mail person. The U.S. Postal Service is launching a fashion line.
What?
Gawker says, at last, the unattainable glamour of the mailman is within your sweaty grasp. The U.S. Postal Service announced plans to release a fashion line for men.
Oh, boy.
The Postal Service won't have to pay to produce it, which is good, since we can't even afford a postcard on Saturdays. But it will receive a small percentage of the profits, so that might help.
Well, if it helps, fine.
And then we'll have the
men in
the bake sale.
Blue shorts, I don't know.
I don't think they're selling uniforms. I think they're selling, like, T-shirts.
Oh,
and,
sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And those pith helmets they wear sometimes.
I don't think they're going to sell those.
They're jaunty. Okay. Doug in Florida, you're on with Congressman Schiff. Hello, Doug. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Oh, my God. Beam me up, Captain, and take 70 with us. But I'll tell you what. It's fantastic. You know, I want you to know, I'm a gun owner. I am a hunter. I'm in Florida. But I think that the same thing should apply to the guns, and someone should submit that as a bill, that you have to license, register, and insure every gun that you have. So if I drive a car, if I own a boat, if I own a house, if I have a plane, I have to do all that with that. I mean, I can kill anything with a plane, a boat, or a car. So do it with the guns. Do it with everything that you have.
What
I mean,
That's an interesting, I mean, what are you saying, Congressman?
Well, I think Wayne LaPierre is going to revoke your NRA membership for that.
Right, yeah.
But, no, I think you make a very good point, which is the requirements that we have for so many other things. We don't apply to guns. The gun industry is treated very differently.
I mean, look at the seatbelt laws, and not talking on the cell phone or texting laws, all that stuff. That I mean, it just is incredible where people think you can't have any kind of regulation on guns, whose only purpose is to kill, right?
Well, yes. I mean, it's also for sport and recreation.
Right. Well, but that's usually killing something. Just saying.
Or target practice.
People go to target practice. Okay. I think you make an interesting point about the way we treat guns differently than other things that are far less dangerous. But right now, frankly, it's such a struggle just to get universal background checks that I think that's where we ought to put our focus.
Yeah.
The other issues involving assault weapons and
extended
clips.
Nothing is, you know, what does the president always say, you know, let perfect be the enemy of good. I mean, it's just, this is where we've gotten. The bar is so low that we're kind of like, okay, if we can get anything, that's better, you know.
But, you know, the other, you know, point I want to make, though, and I think this is raised by the caller, and that is that the leadership of the NRA and its extreme positions, they're now opposing universal background checks while they were for it just a few years ago. They're out of step with their own members, most of whom, very responsible gun owners and want everybody to have a background check. They got their gun with a background check, or if they didn't, they thought they probably should have gotten a background check. But their own leadership, I think, is become increasingly radicalized. They see this as a fundraising opportunity, and they're out of step now, not only with the country, but with their own members.
Congressman, I know you hear all the time the religious right saying the president's trying to take away religious freedom in America by, I'm not even sure I can follow their logic, whatever, with contracepts, something. We did this story earlier. This is my future husband's stack. We love people that make points with humor. Motor Vehicle Commission office in New Jersey called the police on a man who refused to remove a pasta strainer from his head while having his driver's license photo taken. He said it's a religious head covering, and he had a right to wear it, as he is a member of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I was thinking of? Years ago when I was a lawyer, someone in pro per filing their own pleading, who was, I think, in need of some mental health care, wrote in the pleading that he was a member of a religious organization that believes that when you die, your soul goes to a two-car garage in upstate New York, Perrins, Buffalo. And when you said you were from Buffalo, I was like, wow, there's a whole religious organization that was formed in your neighborhood.
Yes, winter in Buffalo. That's very
is this
close
heaven?
To heaven.
No, it's just
that,
Buffalo.
It must be heaven. I would speak to Wagga. Grace in Connecticut, you're on with Congressman Schiff. Hey, Grace.
Hi, how are you? And
good.
Thank you for everything. You guys are great.
Thank you.
My question was, and I know we haven't got much time, but I was a former Navy officer a long time ago, and I took an oath for the Constitution. Now, if these politicians take an oath to the Constitution, and then they take another oath, which puts the first one out of whack.
You mean to Grover, to Grover Norquist.
Yeah, Grover Norquist. How are they legally an officer of the Congress?
Yeah. That is a good
question. That's what I really like to know, because I wrote twice. I wrote to the Senate and I wrote to the House of Representatives, their Ethics Committee, and I never got an answer back because I don't think they have an answer.
Yeah. Oh, your tone makes you chuckly. All right. Thank you, Grace. This question's been raised many times. When do you take an oath to a guy to serve in the United States Congress?
The oath that matters is the oath of the Constitution.
Right.
She's absolutely right. And no pledge has precedence over that oath.
Right.
Now, I think the people that take the no-tax pledge, they would say it's consistent with the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't express, you know, what our view should be on how high taxes should be or how spending should be.
Somebody should remind them, Grover Norquist nor Wayne LaPierre are elected to anything. So if you're, you know, signing some oath or trying to get some rating from a guy, you know.
I would never pledge an oath to anyone named Grover.
Right.
No, I think the only one you should pledge yourself to are your constituents and your country.
That's right.
That's very consistent with the oath of the Constitution.
Entire city of Burbank just swooned. Alan in Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Congressman Schiff. Hey, Alan.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Excuse me.
When both sides voted for the sequester in 2011, they knew that March 1st, 2013 would be coming. And I have to deal with my home budget on the fact, whenever it comes up, what comes in goes out. Now all of a sudden it's one side's fault that we're not going to work with this March 1st deadline. I just want to know your comments and like to hear this. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you know, I think it's easy to feel that, well, since there is no agreement in Congress, both sides are equally responsible. But the fact is, one side has compromised and has expressed a willingness to continue compromising. And the president, in the last more than $2 trillion in deficit reduction we've already done, it's been 2-to-1 spending cuts to new revenues. So you know, I think responsibility for the impasse is not equally held by both parties at this point. You know, it is an appalling fact. I think none of us thought that the sequester had any chance of going into effect because it is so punitive. But one of the parties has decided that that's better than compromise at this point, and so we are where we are, unfortunately.
Roger, with one quick last question for the congressman. Roger in Illinois, go.
Yes, real briefly, this, as far as an image. With the banner during the House and the Congress, how about if all the Democratic representatives just went to Washington, sat in an empty chamber, and sat there like waiting for the Republicans to show up?
There you go. How about that stunt? Are you up for that?
We've tried actually the opposite, which is walking out of the House floor to protest some of what they're doing. But we have also taken the kind of procedural equivalent of voting not to adjourn.
Yep. We have to adjourn here, but we always love having you. Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.